Anybody named McElroy is going to get a big round of applause. We're going to be starting the show in just a second. I wanted to kind of prime the crowd a little with some very important Mabimban trivia. Just to kind of see who's been paying attention. First of all, anybody has listened to all 201 episodes? The rest of you get the hell out. So you'll know these answers, all right? First of all, which McElroy brother is deathly afraid of spiders?
Travis.
Give yourself 10 points. Number two, what is early onset Jack disease? Early onset Jack disease. That's right, when you have a 175-pound child in the womb, security, row one, scene two. Question number three, and this, now we resort to animal. Which animal was the subject of the business name suggestions? Speed rats, shitty cats, erotic exotic, chindy, exactly. Number four, which animal has received the most Mabimban references? And finally, who is Ruby Hart McKinley? She was the warrior cat question asker. So maybe she gave birth to Bramble Cat. But these are the midwives. Ladies and gentlemen, his brother, and him, Justin, Travis, and Griffin. McElroy brothers are not experts, and their advice should never be followed. Travis insists he's a sexpert, but there's a degree on his wall. I haven't seen anything. Also, this show isn't for kids, which I only mention so the babies out there know how cool they are for listening. What's up, you cool babies?
Travis McElroy.
Your baby's brother, Griffin McElroy. I just took a bite out of a cupcake from this and it expressly says for Sydney. Who got us these? This is thank you for the cupcakes, whoever. No one's gonna fess up, all right?
Okay. Secret cupcakes.
Secret cupcakes. Hope you're not poison.
What the fuck are we doing?
This is Jesus. So many podcast shows. I don't remember if anything I've said has ever not been recorded. Speaking of which, let me start recording.
Oh, no.
We got it on the sixth other recording device.
Yeah, I'll just say everything again.
Thing about the cupcakes, her dad.
And cupcakes, and then we say...
You know the shit about the question asker, because that's... God damn. That's,
I think my favorite thing is when he asked about who was deathly afraid of spiders, that, like, three people that said Justin got so harshly shouted, it's Travis!
This guy. Well, thank you everybody for coming tonight to this late show.
This was the original. It used to not be the late show. It used to just be the show that we were doing.
You guys were on board from the beginning, and I appreciate that.
That's what you got. So what you're gonna have now is like live, unfiltered, unadulterated Magler Brothers.
Oh, this is
nothing.
No kidding. I mean, we've done half the work that Justin has done tonight, and I already feel like just keeling over dead. So this is either going to be the worst or best show that we've ever done.
You know what's kept me going the entire time? Huh. My second audience to my right-hand side, my dog pound! Oh! Dog pound opens up.
We will not look or talk to the
sir,
dog pound
sir,
for the remainder of the
we
evening.
Asked everybody to arrive on time, sir. Extremely rude of you. So what do we do in this podcast?
Yeah, no,
is this the medical history one? Travis, how about, okay, you never listened to our show before.
What are you doing here?
It's possible they came here for Sawbones, ass.
It's an advice show. We try to help people who ask us questions and questions we find in the Yahoo Answers service, and we turn them alchemy link into wisdom. So let's do that right now. I believe we have some questions from people who are actually physically here in the space.
We should also mention, do we not have another microphone that we can...
Yeah, we do right here.
Okay, we'll get comfy. We may get people on stage to ask questions, so think about what you might want to chat about.
But listen, let me be extremely fucking clear about something. You are playing a dangerous game. Because, first off, I'm drunk, and... The only thing I'm bummed about is that I had like a Jameson ginger ale for the first show, now I don't have any more. But I believe in a higher power that you want to work.
Dear Jesus!
Jesus!
Jameson.
I know we haven't talked in a while. No, but that's the one thing, but like, don't make it a bummer. Don't make it about poopy. If you're gonna ask us a question over here, don't ruin the entire show with your question, or we will save the show and you will not like the sacrifice we have to make in order to get it back on the rails. Believe you me.
Trask, question us.
Him.
This question comes from Jeremy Frankly. Are you here?
Woo!
Is your girlfriend here with you?
Yep.
Great. Terrific. So here's the question.
Is shit about to get real in this audience?
My girlfriend stinks like butts.
Oh. Whoa!
No. My
Jeremy?
How dare you, sir? So Jeremy actually says, my girlfriend has just moved in with me, and it's going great. Except, she has no sense of bed geography. She's constantly rolling over on top of me, sleeping diagonally so there's no room for me, or kneeing me in her sleep. How can I train her to sleep like a normal person so I can get good sleep?
I don't think the two of you sleeping in the same bed is going to be a problem.
I understand this question, guys. I have these instincts. When my wife gets out of bed earlier than I'm going to go to bed, I will instantly reorganize in a diagonal position. I do not know why. There is something about the luxury. My body is covered by bed space, no matter... Whoa. My body is covered with bed space, but there's something about the fact that I'm absorbing an entire bed.
Yeah, no. It's about the denial of comfort to your... pregnant wife that is so delicious.
She's already up. She's got to get up early to make my breakfast.
Do you want
to...
This is why Dries and I just sleep in separate beds.
Yeah.
In separate rooms. Separate houses.
I have a theory.
I haven't seen my wife in 2 years.
I have a theory that if you don't have this problem with your significant other, you're the problem. Because I think in every relationship there's...
That's like look around the bed, look for the sucker. If you don't see the sucker, you're it.
Right. I am a straight up princess in the pea sleeper. Like, I am a delicate flower. Justin and Sydney are coming to learn this because we're sharing a hotel room here. I build a fucking exoskeleton of pillows around myself. Like, I need two under the head, one between the elbows, and one between the knees. I need four pillows, and we had six in the room. As soon as we got there, like, oh man, it's gonna suck for two of you guys. We're gonna get out of here. So I think I'm the troublemaker.
That was actually a really hard call we had to make last night because we are staying at the garden by the
garden. You know,
it's lovely.
Still on 28th between 6 and 7. Anyway. So we're staying there. We realized that we had four people in the room. We had six pillows. That's not going to fly. Especially since my wife doesn't have her special S-shaped pillow.
Snoogle.
That she needs for pregnancy. So I said, we're going to need some more pillows over here. So I called the front desk and they said, how many pillows do you, did you call?
I called because you can't talk to people like in.
Like a grown-up. Griffin called and they said.
Also called to cancel dinner reservations tonight.
And then Justin asked, were they mad?
In his defense, they were pretty mad. They were not psyched about it.
Griffin calls the front desk and says, we need more pillows. And, you know, this is ridiculous. And they say, how many? And I think we had this moment of panic because it's like.
Ideally, like 10.
How many you got?
How many you have around?
How about you start the negotiation? We'll work up.
Exactly. I don't want to make the first offer. You make the first offer.
I wrote a number down on this piece of paper.
Send a man up to collect the paper. What were we talking about?
Bad sleepers, people are bad at sleeping.
See, I'm bad at sleeping. I tend to be the one who flails around, and then I also wake up from flailing around. So the number of times like I've hit my wife in my sleep, and then I've woken up immediately going, oh my God, I'm so sorry. Was that real or did I dream that? I'm a horrible person.
What do you got here?
Yeah, Yahoo.
This Yahoo.
Do you guys that helped.
See, I think it was sent by Jacob Locker. Thank you, James. By Yahoo Answers. Hold up. Meowchill. Who asks, would you consider the Tim Allen grunt art? Which is considered an artist, and...
Wait, I just want to make sure we're on the same page. So on the count of three, if everybody could give me a Tim Allen grunt,
this is like going to be fucking awesome.
Okay, one, two, three.
I just want to say, I love the people that only get one. I've never heard Tim Allen go...
Explain that, and raise your hand if I'm right. I think some people were doing...
He has multiple.
And then the other people were doing the questioning...
He has the breathy, excitable...
And then he also has that kind of like he just found out disappointing.
The interrogative...
I don't think he ever had a...
I think he did, where like Wilson would say something very... Wilson would... That was when fire was brought up. Wilson would say something really deep, he'd go, ugh. It's like red, like reflective.
You're right, he has the nasal grunt. He said, art, though, agree or disagree?
It's more artisanal. I feel like Tim Allen's a comedic artisan, but I don't know if I would say it's an art, it's a work of art. I mean,
it's a piece, it's a piece, it's a creation, it's an effort.
Do you think he like crafted it, like he stood in front of the mirror and went like, oh, no. Wait. I'm on to something.
Hey, sweetie, is this funny? When I do that, do you laugh? Yeah, you're laughing.
I want you to imagine that TJ just broke a window with a slingshot, and I walk into the house and I see the window, and I'm obviously disappointed.
And when I see the window, I make this noise. It's sort of like a zombie having a stroke. The Ring 3 starring Tim Allen.
I'll tell you what was fucking art on that show were all the wipes, all the transitional wipes between the scenes. Can we all talk about how that was the only show literally in existence to ever do. I guess Boy Meets World actually did get a little bit creative with its shit. Early, like, season 1 through 3, and then they fell off, and they went straight to Cross Dissolves. I miss, like, a lawnmower eats up the scene. It's so fun!
I think we have a greatest hits reel of those queued up. Let's watch that.
Let's watch that all together.
No, we don't. Did we do it?
It's on the USB drive, labeled the best bit ever. It's labeled a very good bit that the McElroy brothers planned ahead.
Is it art?
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah.
Next question.
Okay.
Hey, brothers.
Hey, Travis.
No, that's it. Okay. I recently decided that I want to move out of my mom's house. The problem is that it is expensive to live anywhere around where I live, and I am currently paying for schooling, so there's not a whole lot for me to offer. My brother has offered for me to live with him, and he said we can discuss the details later. But I was wondering what I could do to pay rent without paying cash.
If you put quotation marks around the word pay, then it gets gross.
Buying groceries and driving him around since he can't drive himself are the only things I've thought of. If you could offer some suggestions, that would be great. And that's from moving on up to the cheap side. Yeah,
there. All right, right on.
Cool. Cool.
Back rubs on demand.
Back rubs on demand. Yeah, I have a back rubbist who lives with me. We're also brothers. Mainly, he rubs my back.
And that's how he pays.
He pays me with back rubs.
That's the reason Wilson never came out from behind his fence, is because he had a brother back rub. He was constantly getting a back rub whenever you saw him, because if you had somebody that you had hired with rent professionally to rub your back, I think you would have somebody doing it full time, right?
Yeah.
Eventually the meat would.
And by full time you mean every waking tortured hour of his life.
Can I get a drink real quick? No, absolutely not. These tendons aren't going to release themselves.
Jesus. I don't like anything as much as I like having money. So, like, it's really tough. I mean, you could make him a picture book, but money would
maybe a vision mat, a vision board, like inspirational times you guys can have together. You can make him a new one every day.
It would have to be figure out like the length of time you could get away with not paying rent and like his frustration peak, and then be like, oh, vision board, got your new one.
Oh, damn it, that is pretty inspirational. You're right. You can hang out for 4 more days. Just stay here. It's like Dread Pirate Roberts with this guy. Good luck. I will have to evict you in the morning.
How about a Yahoo answer? You
wanna... Yeah.
This one was sent in by Jeff Danielson. Thank you, Jeff. And thank you to everybody who sent in Yahoos. There were trillions, which was exhausting.
And they weren't all Drew Davenport, but they were mainly.
They were mostly Drew Davenport.
He's gained 2 levels in Yahoo shamandom since we started this morning.
Is he here?
No, he decides not. Thank you, Jeff. It's by Yahoo Answers user Fabricio. It's just a name, guys. By laughing at it, that's racist. Fabricio has a 4% on Yahoo Answers. We've only recently become aware of the fact that Yahoo Answers has like a rating system for users. We had somebody who had a 1% in the last episode, and god damn if they didn't earn it.
I don't think that there's like a rating system you can have for like, you're a more worthwhile user of Yahoo Answers.
You're the smallest piece of shit on this website. Fabricio asks, does emotion count as an ingredient when cooking?
And no details. No details. Further question.
I mean, they say like, pull this some special love in this banana bread.
Does that go the other way though? It's like, I put a little boredom in
there. Someone was really fucking angry when they made this chili. You taste it.
I don't like when I read a recipe on like the internet or a book where they have in the list of ingredients like and a little extra love. They're like, and that's supposed to be, that's a legal document.
Hold on, you read a recipe on the internet, like, that's legal.
I'm saying some of us build a shopping list, and some of us maybe are confused when we see love? What? I don't know.
What am love?
What am love? I'm just trying to make some cupcakes. Over
what here. If you? So you're suggesting that if you had a recipe for turkey chili and you went to the store and bought it and then followed the instructions, put a lot of love in there, and then you cooked it and it came out and the whole time it was strawberry pie, you would be like, I'm pressing charges. This was false advertising. It clearly said chili at the top. Yeah. I was curious when I put strawberries in it, but okay.
I'm saying the ingredient list is a legally binding document and they should have just put like crazy. I see a little extra love in there. You know what I think? Grow up.
you really showed them.
I know, right? If I would have put some extra love there, you know how I show my love? I made you this.
But if
what do you care if I had emotion or not? You're still full.
If you blow a kiss in your turkey chili, though, am I gonna taste it?
Can you taste a kiss in a turkey chili?
I love having built-in punchlines.
Yeah.
So I think that's like the crux of Home Improvement. I think that's really.
You can actually build like 3/4 of a show with like hilarious wipes. You get that fence son of a bitch in there 3 or 4 times. You have Timmy go and you get 3/4 way to an episode. And get some discouraged looks from Patricia Heaton.
You cast Richard Karn as the most.
Patricia
Richard. Oh,
thank you. I thought so. Well, I didn't think so, obviously.
Thanks, Dog Pound.
Thanks, Dog Pound.
This is
about
the Dog Pound, not you guys.
This is the only thing they have.
They know the difference between the moms that everybody loves, Raymond and Thomas Merchant. They're the Dog Pound.
Travis, read a question, please.
Yeah. Great.
You're killing me. Go faster.
Go
faster. How could you not be perfect?
I've been working as a waitress at a 24-hour cafe for almost 2 years now.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
I've never heard of it.
I've learned ways to handle potentially awkward
situations. It works every time.
I've learned ways to handle potentially awkward situations like tables that are drunk or openly fighting, but I still haven't found a way to manage declined credit cards that isn't totally uncomfortable for everyone involved. Is there a tactful way to say that a card was turned down, especially for people who are obviously on dates? And that's from Cough It Up in Austin, Texas.
Yikes.
I think you're about to go, you broke!
No, I don't think you're
broke. You ain't got no money!
I think you just have to make the noise that the audience collectively made when they heard it. And just hand them that. You don't have to fucking explain. They know they don't have. They know they just gave you a piece of plastic that represents $0. Like,
here's my card. I know.
So you're saying is you put the card on the table, you lean in gingerly to the ear and say, nice try.
Can you have pre-printed out like letters from the governor? Like, you're not allowed to take credit cards from this bank, and then you bring it back to them with the letter. Like, check the letter, man. Sorry, I can't. No can do.
All you gotta do is say, I think something's wrong with our machine. The card's not working.
It works for everyone else, but you.
At least then they have plausible deniability. Look at the day and go, the fucking machine.
Yeah, but every person on a date.
It worked when I spent $500 early on candy. I'm just trying to envision a circumstance in which you're out of money, but also pretty happy on your day. You got candy waiting at home. No matter how else the day goes, got a room full of candy.
Do you know how the day has to be going for you to be sitting there thinking, oh, this is it? Not enough candy. Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think so, too. Barrels. I got peppermint spin wheels.
You have picked the bummerest candy ever to be excited about.
I'm an 80-year-old man.
I got those Werther's originals.
Got some poor hot molasses.
This is how many podcasts I've done today. I'm 40 pounds overweight. I can't think of candy I like. Passed up in my head, Mary Jane's. Necco wafers. I have nothing. An empty vessel. That guy's a cheer one. It's
all right. Oh, somebody brought cheer. I mean, we've gotten shit every show, which is bananas. Like, This has been the most exhausting day, I think, of our lives, but also, like, one of the best, because we keep getting nice shit from everybody in every show, and we like receiving things.
We are tributes.
Tributes.
These goofs.
Woof, woof, woof.
Classic goofs.
I'm exhausted for past me.
Audio quality is not
great. It's not super great, and apologies. This is the last one, though. This is the last New York Live show that we did at the Pit. Thank you, the Pit. I wish we had done better recording the audio. There's a new live show coming up, the LA live show that we recorded, a month ago?
Like 3 weeks ago.
Okay.
It ended the second week of June.
We'll probably throw that up later, after Justin has a child, and probably won't be super funny for a while.
When the child of destiny is born.
Yes.
All these jokes, though, talking about all these jokes has gotten me pretty hungry, I would say.
Okay. So you're not really reinventing the wheel with this live show Money Zone interruption.
All right, you go ahead, tough guy.
Guys, it's time to think outside the box. Or inside the box.
Time to think outside the bun.
Yeah, and inside the box.
Okay, just like that, you're both sued. Those are both copyright infringements.
Nature Box, Liv Moss.
Nature Box, ba-da-ba-ba-ba, is Nature Box.
Nature Box does not have fast food inside of it.
Nature Box, nobody does it like Sara Lee.
Well, that's a little on the nose.
Listen, you know, you're looking at your diet, and you're looking at your tummy, and you're saying, I need to not snack as much. The snacking is killing me, Roger. It's
or
not.
Or maybe you're like me, and you say, listen, let's be honest, you're never going to stop snacking so
much. You're
never
going to stop.
So maybe you swap out the Oreos.
Have you ever thought that maybe you need to snack more, but with good shit, instead of the bad shit that you're currently eating?
If so, you can go to Nature Box. They're going to send you a box of snacks that they make healthy for you. They're low on sugar. You know, some of them don't have gluten in them. There's no trans fats or high fructose corn syrup. It's like good stuff for your body.
They're high in flavor.
Low in guilt, high in flavor.
Low in guilt. You guys can have that one for free.
Nature Box, you are welcome. Take that to the bank.
Dark cocoa almonds, baked sweet potato fries, delicious. Peanut butter nom noms. I got some chocolate quinoa granola.
Whoa, that sounds crazy.
Very good. It's very good.
And this is a weird thing, but you know what I love most? One of the things I love a lot about Nature Box, they come in like individual, you know, resealable packets.
Yeah.
So it's really easy to just like, oh, I've got to run out the door. I'm going to grab these, you know, barbecue sunflower kernels and take them with me to the beach.
And it'll last you. It'll last you. You get a box a month, and then like those snacks will last you all month.
Live with that. So right now, if you go to naturebox.com, you can get 50% off your first box. It's naturebox.com/mybrother, all one word. And you can get 50% off, which is a really, really good deal.
Yeah.
Yeah. For a snack subscription service that you've been dying to try, this is the moment. Tons of people have tried it from our listener base, and a lot of them have liked it. All right, listen. I got to be straight with you guys. I don't understand this new advertiser. We have... I'm hoping Griffin can explain it to me.
Well, that's because your simple Promethean brain can't understand the logic of computers.
Wasn't Prometheus the one who brought computers to human beings?
To the people. That's right.
No, that was Data.
That was Data from Star Trek when he traveled.
I remember that episode.
In time. Here's a fact for you, chuckle fucks. Coding has become the most desired job skill of 2014. Whether it's HTML, whether it's CSS, that stands for cascading style sheets. Chuckle fucks.
Whoa.
Yeah, I maybe know a thing or two about these subjects. I've been trying to learn it in my brain. It's very difficult because I don't understand like maths or sciences. But 1 month is a website that will help you learn these very, very complex methods, maths, and sciences in a very straightforward way. For instance, 1 month HTML is the easiest way to learn how to code to build websites. Here's how it works. You have 30 days, roughly about a month. It's debatable, but roughly the length of 1 month. And you do 30 minutes a day. And then starting from scratch, knowing nothing, like you idiots do know nothing, that is.
You got me.
You will
build, got me. Now reel me in.
You will build, idiot, an actual website from scratch, starting from day one, and you'll be welcomed into a community of 12,000, more than 12,000 other students, learning each other, helping each other, touching each other. it'll teach you the stuff that you need if you're wanting to apply for a web-focused job like HTML and CSS. You get video tutorials, you get hands-on exercises and training, and by the end of the class, you will have three projects, including an online portfolio, a blog template, and a landing page, which is like basically everything you need in this digital era.
That's amazing.
And if you already know HTML, they have other classes too for other stuff, other coding things, maybe jQuery, maybe Ruby, maybe Python. I have no idea.
They teach you how to use Facebook.
Yeah, they do.
Rails is good.
They have one called Facebook for Meemaws. And it teaches you the difference between a wall post and a comment and a private message.
Join right now at onemonth.com/mybrother. You get 25% off. Wow. Do something good for yourself and for your life. Get it together. Get your shit together. And do it for 25% less than it would normally cost you by going to onemonth.com/mybrother. That's amazing.
This is not a joke. I will actually probably do this. There are some good resources to learn how to do this online, but a lot of them aren't like super comprehensive. Like they'll give you the groundwork and then sort of back off from there. This one sounds pretty thorough. So I'm going to give it a check out.
So this next message is for Professor Will. It's from Wendy's and Snickers.
No, it's not from Wendy's. It's not from the restaurant Wendy's.
It's from all Wendy's. No, Wendy's plural, not Wendy's possessive. Okay. It is from the Wendy's. They say, congratulations on completing your PhD. We can now officially call you Professor Meat Vodka. You are a wonderful husband, rescue dad, and academic. We are excited to be there for your next steps and hope this message from our favorite brothers is the graduation surprise you always dreamed of. Love, Wendy, and Snickers. And I think Snickers is a pet. She mentions rescue dad.
It's their pet Snickers bar.
Yeah. Do you just love candy so much you've adopted candy?
That makes sense.
I saved you candy.
Unless it is the fast food chain and the popular candy bar coming together.
You've been a customer of ours for a long time. We're really proud of you, Professor Will. Now enjoy this tiny hamburger.
Rescue Dad was my favorite short-lived Saturday morning cartoon from the early 90s.
Mm-hmm. Rescue Dad!
It's just like a dad with a mustache and like a construction helmet. And he would get himself into thorny situations to extract children. From those
situations. Weird thing, you never saw his own kid. He would talk about him a lot.
He didn't have,
look wistfully into his wallet.
No, trust me on this. I am a dad.
That's why it's not weird that I'm here at the playground or the kindergarten. I've got my own kid, so it's totally cool.
And let me grab you. Rescue dad.
Let me shoot the rhino attacking you.
Thank you, rescue dad. I got another message. This one is for David.
Let me give you a parachute.
This one
David,
is for David.
Look in my eyes. We're going to get through this together. Tell me about your dad. I'll tell you about my kid. All right. Do you trust me? Do you trust me?
My kid's name is Daniel or David or something. D. Something D, I think. Anyway.
He's 26 now.
Jump out the window. You could do this, I believe.
Can I do my message for David? I feel like Rescue Dad is stepping all it. David, this message is from Christoph, who says, happy maniversary to my beautiful husband. It's been an amazing 4 years, and I am looking forward to at least 4 more. So, not to put too fine a point on it. You are best husband, the best husband. Okay, hold on. You are best husband, the best husband. So, best husband is like a nom de plume. Mm-hmm. Thank you for your support and love. I am a very lucky man to have such a loving and gorgeous husband. I don't even care that you are an adult teen baby. I still love you.
That's no joking matter.
It's a very serious, very serious issue. We did miss this maniversary by a couple weeks. Their anniversary was June 17th. So apologies, but you knew what the fuck you were getting into.
When you
we did it in under a month. That's our cutoff. So yeah. We did get it in the 30-day realm. So
and by cutoff, we mean that after a month, you have to change your anniversary.
Yep.
Legally. Suit us.
Your maniversary. Listen, I'm kind of in love with that word now.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good one.
I love me a portmanteau.
I do too. A portmanteau.
Yeah. For men only, ladies.
Sorry, ladies, you wouldn't get it.
You don't understand two words jammed together.
We
squish
two words together.
Anyway, we got more live shows, so gobble it up.
Turkeys?
Turkeys.
I am so excited for this Yahoo. It was sent in by Emerald Member, level 13 Yahoo Shaman, Drew Davenport. Thank you, Drew Davenport. It is by Yahoo Answers user Bulls Cubs fan, who asks, do you think the clock has sex at noon and midnight? Think about it here. The big hand is on top of the little hand. So do you think at noon and midnight they have sex?
Also, I'm incredibly stoned.
I am super stoned. It's so weird.
Look at that clock.
Look at that clock. Fucking hands. Yeah. Awesome.
Do you think I am aroused.
Do you think digital clocks are just like, oh, what's the point? I can't even ever become 69 because that's not how time works.
Time when you would just be smoking weed with a friend, and you would lean over and say, hey,
what's
the hey, 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 think of midnight, noon, the hands have sex, and he'd be like, hey, that's pretty good, well, I guess it's pretty good. Now your friend says, you
Doc Yahoo that.
You gotta put that on the internet, man.
You are robbing everybody alive if you don't put this on
the
internet.
You're right, I do have to get to the internet, ask the internet this. I gotta know. I gotta know the answer.
Do you know what's the worst part of this question? Is that I'm the fucking dumbest. And after we decided to put it in the show, I had to sit there and think if there were times when the hands also touched other than noon and midnight, and it was a crazy logic puzzle for a 4-year-old. Eighteen people in this audience are thinking about it right now. Nope, just me, okay. You wanna get someone down here?
Yeah.
Who's feeling it?
Well, the first hand up in my letter.
Sorry, we'll get we got time. Yes.
Come on down.
Bring it in. Remember the metrics.
A pawn or something. Woo!
Fill the time. He's not down here yet. Keep clapping.
Keep it coming. Hey, guys.
How was your name?
Just for the folks at home, that was the sound of his chair scooting back. He didn't rip a fart as soon as it
started. I was not an early fart.
My name's Matt.
I'm Matt.
And my question is, I started a new job in December, and you know, trying to get my foot in the door, I wrote up a real interesting cover letter where I mentioned that I played Dungeons and Dragons, and that's what got me the interview.
Oh, terrific. So you're just here to brag.
I'm the coolest dude. It's the one place I can brag about playing D&D.
Okay.
So I got the
Which
job.
Edition is you, do you prefer? You like a
40?
We are not doing this. Go on.
So it was cool. It's great. Whatever. When my job started, if we were somebody new would come into the office, they would be like, "That's Matt. He's our dungeon master." And it was funny for a while.
Now there's
now
certain expectations.
We're getting, you know, more professional people in, and the joke has sort of lost its punch to me.
Yeah.
My Here's how is, you bring it back.
Do I suck it up and just accept it, or what can I do to get a nickname I'm proud of?
Matt, you have got to lean into it
you
so hard.
You have the best that, like, nickname
this
ever.
Is Matt, he's our dungeon master, trying to go, hello, and you made the welcome to the office. Roll for initiative.
Hail and well met.
Do you have those TPS reports, Matt? No. Roll for initiative, and we shall see. I fucking need them right now. Do you play with the dudes that you work with?
No, but the guy who was looking through resumes said, oh, I used to play with my older brother when I was young, and that's why your resume stood out, but no.
Can I tell you something? I'm sure you're great at the job. That's a dumb reason to hire someone.
You are massively unqualified, but I see here...
Matt, do you know what this economy is like?
Yes.
There are people who would be happy to have a job where everyone introduces them as the office poop master. You know what this economy is like? You should just be counting the lady stars. You have a job. I'm turning my brother, and my dad. Because I'm a dad now, that's why I'm saying things like this all the time. You're here for a really big moment, a turn in the show, where I turn heel for the rest of it. I just give people shit. So anyway, where was I? Oh yeah. You know what this economy is like.
Buy a staff.
Buy a staff. Keep it at your desk.
Have a bunch of skulls with like candles on top of them where it's melted down over it.
You could be, I found this working in a lot of jobs, you can be such a character at the office that they often will forget the work part. If you become so essential as part of their like daily routine, things they see, things they interact with, you can just not do the work. We can't fire that guy, the dungeon master. He's a proud of his mascot. I love that guy. Now, what does he do?
He's great. He's
Did you ever dungeon master when you played D&D?
Yeah, that's why I got it.
Okay. Oh, check.
What's great is you want to play your cards so that eventually you get introduced like
no,
this.
No, you don't use cards to use dice.
So you got to play your dice like this. You want to get it so that eventually they say, this is Matt. He's the dungeon master. In a really like shameful, embarrassed way, like, don't talk to Matt.
Don't talk to Matt. Leave him alone.
He can't
what
be
do you
trusted.
Make himself unapproachable? That's
yeah.
What you're telling
make yourself awful.
Terrific.
You're, I want you to be the office hermit. Hidden away in a crawl space that people have to venture to. It's like walking through. It has to be a venture.
You seem to be adventurous. Yeah. You found me once more.
Congratulations.
This is my rat, Finrear. Don't have rats. You can't have rats in here. It's an office building.
It's not a rat, it's my familiar. Stop it. So, does that help?
Absolutely.
Great.
Alright, this Yahoo was sent in by Reed Carpenter. Thank you, Reed. It's by Yahoo Answers user Green. 33%, not bad. Still a failing grade. Green asks, is it possible to eat a salt shaker? Is it physically, possibly for any human being to eat a salt shaker without assistance like breaking it up beforehand? As in, actually putting a whole salt shaker in your mouth, chewing it up, and swallowing it. Well, it could be fun.
Do you ever wonder, like, when we find these questions, like, what circumstance made someone go,
huh. How about the fucking coolest, like, business power move ever? Like, we're gonna acquire your company for half the price that you asked for. No, you're not. Oh, okay. Yeah, I guess you got a good point. Yeah, can we have the...
I think you need to do it slow, like Willy Wonka in the teeth.
Okay, interesting. Oh, no, I won't have anything.
I'm having salt.
And glass in my mouth. See, part of me thinks
there is someone in this country who is having a very grim standoff with a salt shaker that you do not enjoy.
I mean, some guys like that one dude that...
You listen to me. I don't like you, and you don't like me. This only is one way. Alright, ask the internet if that way is even feasible. But I can stop here, and before this night is through, one of us is going to eat the other. I'm bigger. And I got access to the internet, so I'm going to give it a shot.
I just love that the question is not, is it recommended to eat a salt shaker?
It is
also, listen, I'm not looking to cheat by breaking it up ahead of time.
I know I could do that, and that would be cool. Can I break it with my teeth?
The part of me thinks the salt would be the worst part. All that salt air.
Wait, not the glass shards in the metal tub.
There's a dude who, like, ate an airplane. There's like that dude that was on Guinness and he ate, or maybe it was Ripley's Believe It or Not, and now I'm saying it.
Yeah,
I'm saying it out loud.
No, not probably.
I think Dean King pulled a fast one.
Classic Dean.
Trav, you have another question?
Let's see. Yeah, sure. About 2 months ago, I was promoted to a new position at my job. I love my job and the trust my boss has put in me. But the truth is, I often feel like I have no idea what the fuck I'm doing. Not only do I not have any previous job experience in this field, but it's not even related to what I went to school for. I started almost completely cold. I like to think I'm a fast learner and my bosses seem happy with my work so far, but I still get overwhelmed. I worry about earning the respect of my more experienced coworkers. How do you deal with imposter syndrome? And that's from Sheep in Wolf's Clothing on Wall Street.
Who's that?
Who is that?
Who's that?
Yeah?
I just heard sup from the darkness. All right.
Hey, what's up? There's only one option. You know what it is, right?
Oh, yeah.
You gotta fake big.
You gotta fake big? I was thinking the exact same thing.
You gotta go in one day and say, listen, boss, I'm gonna put this on.
I know I've been a fuck up for a while now, for 2 months.
About. I know everybody in the office suspects that I don't know what I'm doing.
I'm 12.
I'm 12.
I know what you're saying. You look like an adult. There is this fortune-telling machine, right?
I know it's going to start adding up. Remember the giant piano? You remember I danced on the giant piano on the floor? I'm 12 years old. You can't get mad at me. You can't even fire me. Damn, because it's not even legal that you hired me. I'm 12, and you've got a lengthy court battle at your head. A healthy severance package, don't mind if I do. I don't know what severance is, I'm 12, but I trust it's good.
Can you ask for a different job? Can you do that at a job? Just like, I don't like
you got anything easier?
Can I try boss? Boss would be cool.
Boss seems cool.
Let's transies. I'll be boss. You be whatever my job is, I'm not entirely sure.
What if the twist is like the boss is like, I don't know what your job is.
When someone asks you to do something, just look at them and go, well, how would you do it? And then when they say it, like, I agree. I'm going to do the same. That's what I was going to say.
That's pretty much what I've been doing, so thank you.
Can you show me one time? Can you show me one more time?
I know I said that last time, but just one more.
Can you show me one more time?
Susan, you're a surgeon.
I'm 12?
You should have said something about your beginning a long time ago. Many, many failed surgeries ago.
Maybe because she was robbed of so many years, jumping from 12 to whatever age she is now, she wants to rob others of it. It's like a dark...
Fuck me!
It's like dark big.
Big saw. Well, it's big saw.
Like, if he was never fixed, don't you think he would have gotten to a point where he's like, what's wrong? You didn't have a childhood? Yeah, me neither. Dark big. Started with your work. That's dark big. Any other questions or what?
Should we get a live one?
Yeah, get a live one. I saw your hand first. Come on up.
Yeah, we woo! Yes. No clapping for this one.
No, we had a short walk, so we don't need to cover anything. What's going on?
Hey, how's it going, brother?
Hey, how are you?
Pretty good. Steve. Nice to meet you.
Hey, Steve. Yeah, some Steve fans. Steve heads are out. How can we help, Steve?
So every morning I ate my breakfast at the same deli that's like right down the street from my work.
Go
and
on.
And there was this sign that's for like a smoothie with Red Bull in it. And I can't decide whether this is a great idea or the absolute worst idea. So, brothers, I'm really curious, how early is too early for soda? No.
Steve, how early is too early for diarrhea?
It's never too early.
We're in glass houses right now because, like, we just did 5-hour energy drinks backstage before we came
Travis
out.
Travis literally said, okay, you can move that down, Steve.
Oh, you can redirect it however you feel comfortable.
Very personal.
Your comfort is important to me. you're our guest. I realized at, what time was it? It would have been about 8 o'clock when we were eating dinner. I realized that, like, I had been meaning to take a 5-hour energy shot all night, and I'm not staying awake any longer than I have to today. So I can't have these shows over at 11 or what have you, and then still be awake for another 2 hours because I took my 5-hour energy. And Travis says to me, oh, it's fine, just take 4 hours worth.
Okay, here's the thing. But for a long time, I've always wondered if you do half of a 5-hour energy drink, do you get 2.5 hours of 100% energy or 5 hours of like 50% energy?
So we consulted a physician that was married to me. Said they are made up. And don't do any percent of any energy for any amount of
term. But,
Steve, I think that is a really rough way to get your day started. Because not the actual effects of it, but if you
start... It's fucking gross. It's gross. It's super gross.
If you start your day with that, what if you come to depend on it? Then it's like, oh, that's Steve. He drinks a Red Bull smoothie every morning.
Oh, that's Steve's morning slop. He has to slop that. He has to slop that down his gullet, or else he just can't get started. Steve's a little sweaty. He didn't have his glop this morning. Don't talk to me until I've had my glop. And what if that deli shuts down? You'll die.
What else is in the smoothie except Red Bull?
I think it's like strawberry, banana, and. No,
why are you saying those ingredients like they're gross?
It's like kiwi. I don't know.
There's definitely Red Bull in it. And that's
weird. That's the good part.
Some kind of fruit.
Are you supposed to put carbonated shit in? Carbonation is, by its very definition, not especially smooth.
Listen, smoothies are kind of like freestyle like remixes anyway. I've thrown celery in smoothies. What? You can do anything.
Wow, put him behind bars. A vegetable?
So we go to that house?
Don't do it.
Here,
don't fucking do it.
You should stop other people from doing it.
Don't do it. Everybody see.
Steve!
Hey, Evan.
Yeah, Kevin.
You like this one?
I do like
okay,
that one.
Okay, Travis likes this one, so we'll do that. It's sent in by Jennifer Cheek. Thank you, Jennifer. It's by Yahoo Answers user. No! Perfect. No, asks. Okay. Did Darth Vader... Did Darth Vader still have a penis after the accident? Some terminology to clear up. Wasn't really an accident. Like, Obi had the higher ground and he went for him. He got his legs done. Did I guess the lava was not intentional for either party. But
so in case you're wondering, that's why he was yelling, no! My wiener, no!
I think if they have like the cybernetic parts for like all of his burned up body, then like I saw Bicentennial Man and they fucking perfected that shit.
You're saying, okay, wait. You're what you're telling me is that
Bicentennial Man and Star Wars exist in the same universe.
Right? So, but different canons. What you're telling me is that if Darth Vader were to, with one flourish, remove his codpiece, you would see behind it a separate
Robin Williams penis from Bicentennial Man. Perfect one-to-one, because listen, they've perfected that technology, but they don't want to like risk like chopping and screwing it too much. So it's the same, you get the same model across, you can get it in a back alley.
Wait, is it the same mechanical penis? Are you saying...
Passed down from generation.
Are you saying that in the scene where Bicentennial Man dies, if the camera...
It feels like
the same.
It's
to the right.
It's a deleted scene. Somebody was taking pictures of that out of context. That's exactly.
For those of you listening at home,
Justin stood up and very lewdly pointed to his bathing suit region.
My bicentennial dog.
To his
bicentennial Nats? Is that what I'm gonna do? No, I'm gonna stick with dog. I'm gonna stick with dog. What dog pound? What? Sorry, hey, first time listening.
Does Darth Vader have... I don't think the Empire would have any use for Darth Vader. Okay, but here's the thing. If not, he comes up off the table.
Oh, good
and
job.
Then he looks at Palpatine and he's like, okay, great.
Ankle
what the fuck?
So I'm just going to be inside. Letting in the screen. And the good news is I can't drink. But I'm just gonna pee in the suit. All right then. That's why I'm so angry all the time.
I can't stop thinking about what Robin Williams' penis looked like. because you think about it, because we're thinking about it.
So by the end of this episode, it's just going to be a recurring like string of Griffin saying Robin Williams' penis, and just going,
this is something I'm actively thinking about, though. Because I bet, no, hear me out.
No!
I bet it's a lot like his knuckles. But just one. But just one, there wouldn't be four. Yeah.
I don't know more.
Is the show done?
Yeah, I think we might be done with the show.
No, never. Never. I want to keep thinking about Robin Williams' penis all night.
Let's do another. Do we have any more in your
tuxedo one?
Oh, yeah. Tuxedo one's a good one. Guys, just wait. You're going to love this question, guaranteed. It's very good.
2 years ago.
That's all I know.
2 years ago, I bought a tuxedo for my wedding through an online vendor. It didn't fit right and wasn't made to be tailored, so in desperation, I just bought a second one from the department store. Now I own two tuxedos, like I'm some kind of big shot. I haven't had much luck selling it online, so what can I do with a second, slightly ill-fitting tuxedo? And that's from Sartorial in San Fran.
Does anybody in here own a tuxedo? There's like five. That's not a lot of tuxedos. That's
cool. Though, this is what I don't understand. Why did they not have renting tuxedos where this guy lives?
What kind of life are you living that you're like, I'm going to use this often enough that I need it?
I better get married in a while.
That sounds awesome. Yeah. I wish I was living here. Well, not really, because I don't really like anything that I've ever been to where I had to wear a tuxedo. But I'm sure that you enjoy those types of activities, and I have no judgment for me.
I think you're going to need to wear the smaller one and Hulk out.
What if you wore the smaller one underneath the bigger one? Can you imagine the sight gag?
Are you guys warm in here? Hold on.
Is it hot? Sweat tux. My restrictive tux.
Could you build robotics into it and make it like the
if you are backing into Robin Williams?
No one should ever back into Robin Williams' penis.
That guy's really taking a beating this episode. I was making a super great Jackie Chan's the tuxedo. Jackie Chan. Jennifer Love Hewitt. He has a magic tuxedo. It's been a really long time since I've watched it.
Can you tear one up and use it to fake, like, disasters? Like, you walk into a room in a regular one, you switch, come out in the destroyed one, like, wow, do not go in there, woo! Ace Ventura was like, a tuxedo.
It's been a weird day, you guys.
Yeah, it's been a long day. What other movies have tuxedos?
I think we should be done. Have we given them?
You want my blood? Take my blood, negotiator. No tuxedos in that.
Have you ever noticed how many movies there are without tuxedos in them? Let's name a few.
This has been My Brother, Me. We hope you've had a lot of fun. Thank you to Michael and Kevin and Ronnie and everybody from the People's Improv Theater.
They have done everything. We are like babies that they have nurtured all day. We have no idea what we're doing. And they kept us alive.
They are wonderful. They have been our heroes. Thank you so much to you, fine people, the dog cast. And also, I am joined.
And thank you to our wives and our dad for being supportive, being in the show.
Our
sisters are wonderful people.
Big thanks to Sawbones for just like super stand-up.
On your way out the door, make sure to stop by the merch table. We have a bunch of new merch.
Do this quick because it makes me uncomfortable.
I know. It was made just for the show. Eventually, we'll be online for sale, but you got the first crack at it. We got awesome patches. Button packs that you guys are gonna dig. awesome new tote bags.
Packing bags, move away bag, get it.
On your way out, if nothing else, grab one of these postcards. It'll give you a coupon code for 20% off if you order stuff online, so it's really great. Make sure you grab it. And we'll be out there doing a real quick short meet and greet before we fall down
dead. Die.
So come see us after the show.
Thanks to I guess, DMX and Sean Waltrick and Along Winter Cities, our theme song. X Gon' Give It To You, Chopped and Screwed by Griffin McElroy, and also It's a Departure off the album Putting the Days to Bed. Thank you
to Maximum Fun for having us send to New York City.
Oh boy, good jokes, guys. Just to jump in real quick, just want to remind everybody to go to Nature Box where you can get great tasting healthy snacks. Get in shape for summer with healthy treats like BBQ kettle kernels. 50% off your first order. Go to naturebox.com/my brother. That's naturebox.com/my brother.
Y'all are really going to love this closing goof. We really take it to the bridge here. Get ready.
Gonna do it for us. Griffin, you have a final Yahoo.
Final one was sent in by Thomas Anderson. Thank you, Thomas. It's by Yahoo Answers user Victor, who asks, does the hologram of Michael Jackson performing last night have a soul?